Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. And we have some things to talk about when it comes to Brock Purdy. Earlier on, we asked who's more important to their team, Domantas Sabonis or Brock Purdy. That was not supposed to be disrespectful to either person, especially not Brock Purdy. And we have someone we've talked about. There are people that seem to be more on the side of Brock Purdy or just on the side of the Niners, no matter what they do. I would put David Lombardi in this category. He does Niners coverage for The Athletic, and he is very much a pro whatever the Niners decide is the right thing. And if you were in that camp, sometimes they make you look a little not smart, right? When Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the Raiders and you've been kind of caping for the Raiders or for Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners, and Jimmy Garoppolo goes to the Raiders and does not look great, right? But as of right now, you got a hit on your hands with Brock Purdy and his latest tweet that David Lombardi, I'm sure, was excited to probably had it in the chamber for months, dude, right? For months.
He could not wait.
And this was to kind of debunk the yards after catch myth, if you will, with Brock Purdy.
Which is probably the biggest narrative around
it's Brock. The biggest one. And we even said against the Eagles, it didn't look great, right? I don't think a lot of people are watching Niners, Jaguars, or whoever at 10 a.m. or whenever it is, and didn't see a lot of the good throws that Brock has made. I didn't see any of those throws against the Eagles, and I honestly wasn't sure that Brock's odds for MVP would go up that much.
Yeah.
Turns out I was wrong, right? So David Lombardi drops this December 4th, and like I said, was very excited to drop it. I can guarantee you that much. Where he says, and here is the tweet, verbatim. 48.6% of Brock Purdy's passing yards this season are coming from yards after catch. That's less than each of the past three MVP winners. In 2020, Aaron Rodgers, 52.2%. In 2021, Aaron Rodgers, 52.7%. In 2022, Patrick Mahomes, 54.3%, which is pretty surprising because they did not have Tyreek Hill.
They did not.
And in 2023, Brock Purdy, the least amount at 48.6%. And it's true.
Finish the tweet.
I forgot the best part. How could I? And he ends it with checkmate, period. Sounds like blouses from Dave Chappelle. Checkmate, period. And I don't even follow David Lombardi, man. And I don't have to because he does always put out good stats. So he just pops up on my timeline. Anyway, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Brock Purdy. I don't know how. I really don't. I don't know how.
I don't either. I mean, I really don't either because it. I mean, I guess the yards per attempt, like this is what people have been trying to tell us, I guess, with the yards per attempt being higher than anybody else in the NFL as well. Like, I guess we just really don't, for maybe it's because there still is yak after his completions, but I think even eye test wise, it still feels like there is a ton of work being done after the catch. But, you know, I guess this is like, we're kind of both not tongue in cheek, but we do laugh at this stat and David Lombardi doing these kind of stats often. But I actually do think this is really a great stat. Like this is truly, as we joke around about the quarterback numbers and the efficiency and the EPA numbers that everybody throws out for Brock. To me, this is actually the most legitimate stat if you're going to try and say Brock Purdy should be MVP or that narrative is just completely washed.
Because
this is the big thing that everyone says is the talent around him does all the work. I don't know if we're going to play it, but you brought to our attention that Micah Parsons yesterday on his podcast was like, oh, I really think I could throw it to Tyreek. Like, how hard is it to throw a deep ball to Tyreek Hill? How hard is it to throw a slant to Deebo Samuel? That's just not, I mean, it appears that that's the case with Brock eye test wise, but clearly the numbers are not saying that. And I think that when you just compound all of the numbers, the yards per attempt on top of this number, you can't argue that Brock is doing nothing different than what other quarterbacks do. He is not being aided any more, as a matter of fact, less than what other quarterbacks are. And so that being the prevailing negative or the narrative against Brock, there's really nothing else you can say. You just got to be able to at some point tip your cap to the dude and say, you're just playing good football.
No, he is. And look, a lot of people might think it looks a bit different or, you know, that's why you don't want to believe it. But right. The proof is in the pudding. It's there. And it really is a checkmate. Yeah. As much as I give David Lombardi a hard time, it really is a checkmate.
There's
because
no coming back.
That has been the biggest thing as far as a knock on Brock. I'm trying. And the only thing if I were a Brock hater, which I am not, but if I were a Brock hater, the only thing you could go to after this would be, the only thing you could go to after this is go to Shanahan.
Yeah.
And just say that these guys are wide open, right. Which at this point, you're even if you're not completely wrong, right? You remember, was it a couple games ago when nobody was on the screen when he threw the ball to Debo?
Yes.
Nobody was on the screen.
Yeah.
That's all you got left. And honestly, that it's not much.
No, I
it's
mean,
not much.
I still think we talked about it, I think, earlier this week or later last week. But, you know, I still would say is Brock even the MVP of his own team is a fair retort. But again, I mean, I think if anything, he's carrying as much water as maybe not as anyone else, but at least close to the same amount of water as Christian McCaffrey and as Debo. And when you throw in the fact that he is playing quarterback, and so he is going to get a lot of criticism, you know, we even as a media collective, we talk a lot about those weeks where Ayuk and Trent Williams didn't play, and we say, oh, see, that shows Brock wasn't able to step up. Last time I checked, Christian McCaffrey was also playing in those games too. Mm-hmm. I that doesn't seem to hurt McCaffrey's MVP case at all. And I'm not saying it should. I just don't know if it should really be that big of a detriment to Purdy's MVP case. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, whatever of if you actually believe Brock Purdy's the MVP or not, but this is for everybody out there who just says it's ridiculous to even have him in the conversation.
Yes, exactly. And if I'm not mistaken, against the Giants, which looked a little, he didn't look great. It was a little bit of a more mucky game. I'm fairly sure Brandon Ayuk did not play in that game. And he still threw, you know, his stats did not drop
Ronnie Bell
at all.
Just looked like an Ayuk replacement.
Exactly.
Game.
So there's a game where you didn't have Ayuk. And if you take away two all-pro guys and Trent Williams and Debo, and even if it was on a different team, I'm sure nobody would look the same, and they still could have won that Cleveland Browns game. So I think that at this point, if you are a hater out there, now if you think it's sustained, now you have to pivot if you're a hater.
Is it sustainable?
Is it Shanahan's fault? Is it sustainable? Anything like that? But as far as this season is concerned,
there's no arguments for here today.
Just
you
put
can
the
argue
nail
in
the coffin.
But
just there, you have nothing left.
No.
You have nothing. You have
what
nothing
are we at,
left.
Week 13.
If you're really
on now,
a hater,
like,
you, right? Yeah. If you because I know it could be an emotional letdown or so against the it's over, man.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah.
For as far as the Brock Purdy hating conversation, you could try again next season, but this season, just give him his flowers because it's right there. And David Lombardi, he just hit the nail on the head. And if that's what it is, you got nothing else. All right, we have the sound from Micah Parsons, and really, he was starting with Tua, and then just randomly throws a shot at Brock at the end. So here it is.
I truly believe I could be Tyreek Hill's quarterback. Yeah, I could throw it up to Tyreek Hill. I could throw a screen pass to Debo.
Just
Why?
A random shade.
Why?
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I've been thinking about this. I could throw a screen pass to Debo. Yeah. Micah Parsons sounds like me.
Well, he was hyping up Brock really? Early in the season.
He
you
was,
guys remember
actually.
That?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
so,
right.
So I don't know if that's
he's
a
just
shot
talking, man.
At Brock or if he's just like, I don't know what he's even trying to say.
Does that get under your skin at all, Nate?
No. Look, his face when he says it, like if you could see, he's like looking up, like just kind of,
matter of
in
fact.
His own head, just like thinking about things to say. Because they just put these guys on these podcasts and they just need them to say something.
Right.
And they just, it holds no weight to me. It holds no weight.
Good. Yeah, we all have a buddy that. Like healthy. Micah Parsons.
Yeah,
but I'm thinks, pissed.
That thinks, hey, you know what? There are people not. I guess it's not as bad because Micah Parsons is still in the NFL.
Yeah,
we have buddies.
Micah Parsons is also really good.
Right, we have buddies that also think they could throw a screen to Deebo.
Right, absolutely.
And you see those things yes. on social media. Would you try to? Do you think you could score on Giannis mm-hmm. for $1 million or gain 5 yards in the NFL
right.
for $1 million? What do you think is more realistic?
Oh, I'm going to say
five yards.
Do you think Giannis?
Oh man, no. 5 yards is all.
I can get 5 yards.
Do you think all three of us could score on Giannis in a 24-second shot clock?
I think you could get lucky and throw the ball at the hoop and make a shot. I don't think there's any chance you run fast enough or even survive 5 yards without contact.
I can get 5 yards.
There's no.
I can get 5 yards behind Trent Williams. Okay. Is that a shot?
That's a shot. Definitely a shot.
McCaffrey?
At Christian McCaffrey.
It's just, it's just a shot at the greatness of Trent Williams. Shout out. It's not a shot, it's a shout.
Yeah. This is a wild show today. A lot of crazy takes.
This is what happens when the Kings don't take care of business.
It's their fault.
We should be in Vegas right now. We should be in Vegas right now before the team even gets there.
Playing Halliburton.
We're trying to, I'm assuming the Drive guys will get that sound for you for everybody listening, so hang on. Tyrese Halliburton was on NBA.
What do they call it?
NBA Today on ESPN. And all we saw, we have it muted in here, but all we saw was a question saying or asking him, were you looking forward to facing the Kings in the in-season tournament? So you can only imagine what that is going to bring.
Yeah, I mean, ESPN's always going to try.
Just getting started, man.
I do almost feel bad for Tyrese at this point because he has had to now publicly state on multiple occasions, I don't want to talk about the trade anymore. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like no matter what any public appearance he has, people just want to ask him about the Kings and the emotions that go into that. And, I'm hoping for Tyrese's sake that he just gives some super media-trained bland answer, because if not, and I assume he did because I've been checking Twitter and I don't see anything on Twitter yet, because people will be coming for his head if he said anything regarding Domantas Sabonis or De'Aaron Fox.
I just don't think he would.
I don't think so either.
Scooter 916 from the Sack Chat, I could get 5 yards for sure.
Y'all are tripping.
On the text
Y'all
line.
Are insane.
On the text line from the 916. Parsons should focus on tackling Deebo on a screen route and not throwing to him.
Nice. That's a good one.
42-10. That is the text of the day.
That's it.
That is the text of the day.
That's the Sack Chat of the day?
That's a text.
I thought you said the text could be the...
I don't know.
We can come. Yeah. We can add it all together. We can have two from different versions. All right. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners talk and more QB talk. Christian McCaffrey. The MVP, or should it go to Brock Purdy? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Talking Christian McCaffrey, talking Brock Purdy, as we had our Kings Roundtable earlier today. Be sure to go find that on YouTube if you missed it, or on the SacktownSports.com app. You can listen to it there as well. As
great app.
Chris, you had some information about Christian McCaffrey for MVP and how that all would look.
Yeah, I mean, really interesting. It seemed like this morning there was some sort of, I like to call it propaganda, doesn't necessarily have to mean that it's negative, but just a lot of numbers being mm-hmm. thrown out there in the pro, hey, wait a second, what about Christian McCaffrey for MVP case? This one's from Josh Dubow, who you said was in Sacramento on
I believe I saw him.
Was that Monday, you said, or Saturday for some Kings games? So mm-hmm. This is from Josh Dubow of the AP. Put this out, and I think this stat is criminally underutilized, underrated. Christian McCaffrey's 87 first downs are the second most for any player through 12 weeks in the last 10 seasons. David Johnson had 89 in 2016. The only 49ers with more first downs gained in an entire season, as far as records go back, was Frank Gore's 89 in 2006. So there's one for you. Again, I think first downs are one of those stats where just nobody really brings it up. It's interesting to me that in this fantasy football day and age we're in, where, you know, everybody's got a fantasy team and people do individual defensive players, why don't people track first downs? Like, first downs to me, like, Juwan Jennings is really known as being like that third down guy that the Niners go to. The value of just getting a first down is incredible to me, just not talked about enough. Like, how valuable it can be to have a Ezekiel Elliott who just always is getting first downs, or to truly show, oh, Jalen Hurts is, you know, the brotherly shove is really effective. Jalen Hurts has 15 first downs, 15 of 16 first down attempts on the year or something like that. I don't know. I think first downs could be a better utilized stat in football. Grant Cohn this morning put out, Christian McCaffrey is on pace for 2,069 yards from scrimmage and 24 touchdowns this season. Marshall Faulk in his 2000 MVP season had 2,189 yards and 26 touchdowns in 2000. So pretty much similar stat line, only like 100 yards less and two less touchdowns. Marshall Faulk got the MVP in 2000. Christian McCaffrey on pace to do pretty much just that this season. And then our guy David Lombardi also took some time to not only, you know, water the Brock Purdy for MVP flower, also gave this for Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey is the only NFL running back over 1,000 yards this season, despite the fact that he has faced stacked boxes on 40% of his runs, more than any other running back this season, which is just incredible.
That's,
I mean,
crazy.
Let me tell you, from somebody who watched Adrian Peterson for a good helping of his career, stacking the box does work. I mean, at some point, it does work. If you throw enough bodies at the run, you can even slow down a Christian McCaffrey.
Saquon
as well, right. Yeah. He faces it all the time. Right. If only Daniel Jones could throw it 5 yards.
Right, I wonder what Derrick Henry...
Oh, what his percentage is? Yeah. It's probably up there as well. It's probably decreased throughout the years. But
right.
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember where I saw this. There's so much content and information going around and coming at you every single day. But it was another checkmate when it comes to, well, I consider it a checkmate. I'll see if you do as well. And it's pretty simple in terms of the MVP conversation. Mm-hmm. And it goes a little something like this. Christian McCaffrey played in Philadelphia during the playoffs last season.
He did.
And we saw what happened.
Sure.
So to me, I read that and it did put things in a different perspective. Now, does that necessarily mean that Brock should be MVP? I don't think those two things are completely connected. But it does... For me, fair, unfair, dampen a little bit of the MVP talk
a
for
little
Christian
bit,
McCaffrey.
But that's almost a little bit, to me, also like, you know, a center in the NBA is going to be dependent on how much his point guard gives him the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Christian McCaffrey doesn't necessarily, especially if the game script doesn't allow it, like, he can't just imprint his will onto a game. Like, he's got to be given the ball in runs or in screen passes or something. Like, he's got to – that's not just on Christian McCaffrey. It's not like McCaffrey was being given opportunities and just wasn't doing anything with it.
We're talking about stacked box. Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Josh Johnson, you beat
Johnson,
us.
Josh Johnson, please. Yeah, I'll put 10 in the box at that point. Right. I'll just guard – have one safety or something, guard all the receivers. Yeah, I mean, I hear that. I think it's a note, but I don't think that that's a – I don't think that's a checkmate. To me, that's – I hear you. It's a good point. It's a really good counter, but to me, you have some holes in that counter argument.
Okay.
Like, because it's not his fault. Like, running backs, again, like, running backs are really valuable when you're winning games. They help you seal victories. It's just really tough to get a running back involved when you're not winning or when the game's not even close. Like, you're essentially just running out your own clock.
But that's what I'm saying. It's just for the MVP conversation specifically.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. And just
it's
in
not
terms
about
of,
his value or how important he is, but in terms of the MVP conversation.
Right. But that's again,
we saw
where
what
it's
happened
like,
with Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. If okay.
That's where quarterbacks just have a completely unfair advantage. And again, that's
no,
where it's
again,
like
that's why it goes to quarterback right. every year. So exactly. that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We will never know. But if there was if Brock Purdy played in Philly
yeah.
and there was no Christian McCaffrey, I don't know if the Niners win or not. Mm-hmm. But there is a they would have had a better chance than what they had.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Who do you think, just in general, blanket, and I brought up like the NFL just doing a Heisman almost, like have an MVP and then have a Heisman. If you're just going to give it the MVP to a quarterback, who do you think is the best player in football, just in general? Like, who do you think impact, like, I mean, not, I won't even say impacts the game because, again, that brings into value. But just the individual, it could be Debo. You can throw Myles Garrett in there. You could say, you know, Aaron Donald. You could say Trent Williams if you want, Christian McCaffrey.
Emmanuel Acho has Trent Williams on his MVP list.
That's what, like, I think there needs to be a better representation of who the best player in football is. Like, there cannot just be a, again, that like, because the MVP is a flawed trophy.
The best player in football is still Patrick Mahomes.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't think you're wrong. Yeah. But you can't give him an award for, you can't just give.
No,
yeah,
but that's it's a LeBron right. thing.
My goal, if I were to be the commissioner of football, I guess, would be the role that's most likely to have this kind of power. But yeah, I mean, I would try and make my MVP trophy as close, however close we can get to getting a list of people that look like the best crop of players in today's game. However you got to phrase it, to me, the NFL needs to somehow lean towards getting that. It can be an award, it can be a new award, or making the MVP more of a wide conversation.
I don't think they need to do that. I just don't think they care.
At least for this year. It just feels like we're getting way too pigeonholed into it has to be a quarterback. With Jalen Hurts getting MVP odds boosted, you know, a couple weeks ago after his team wins, you know, 17-12.
It was a gritty win.
And you even said Brock Purdy, like, that was really, that was the Brock Purdy performance to catapult
him to
number one?
But that was numbers, though. But that was numbers, though. Lowest air yards, but that was the numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just seems to me like we're finding out that this, I mean, maybe we've known it for a while, and it's just that the Niners have somebody at the forefront of the conversation, but it just feels like the award is flawed.
It is flawed, but it's flawed in a way that the NFL does not mind or care about, because you are promoting the most jerseys that are going to get bought is the quarterback.
Right.
I mean, everything is driven on the quarterback. That is football society. That is part of it. When you're making a movie and you're doing the popular kid in school, you don't do the left guard. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Benny's the hottest dude
in
school.
But it's like even skill position. Like if Tyreek Hill can't get into
back
more
in the day,
solid into the.
Yeah, it was never wide receiver, funny enough.
I was
going to
say, I think
sometimes
it's
been running back, right? Sometimes if you watched Friday Night Lights or anything like that, sometimes it was running back, but it was.
Adrian Peterson, last non-quarterback to win the MVP. Yeah.
Which feels eons ago.
It sure does.
But it's always going to be a quarterback.
I think if Cooper Kupp couldn't win the MVP, what was that, 2 years ago when he just broke, it seemed, every single receiving record out there, I guess to your point, it just kind of feels like we're past the point of it, that being part of, like, anybody but a quarterback.
Yeah,
it was something
the triple crown or
something
like that.
Yeah, exactly. He won the triple crown.
And nobody
cared.
He had
most receptions, yards, and touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And because that's the thing is, like, okay, if we're saying even in a year like this, it has to still be a quarterback to win, well, then what does it take for a skill position player to do? Like,
you need a terrible year.
You have to win a you have to break a record.
I will tell you what. After this break, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 30 more minutes with you. Got crosstalk next segment. That'll be a good time, as always, with Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason. Got to check in on Kyle because Kyle might be headed to Phoenix, not right today, but soon.
Yeah, I think it would probably be tomorrow if I had to guess, but no word on that or anything like that. And we did get word, speaking of getting word on Phoenix, our guy Brendan Nunez just pointed out, as we mentioned earlier on the show when they were on, they had to run over to Kings practice today. Brendan and Frankie is also putting out as well. Keegan Murray, with his injured back, did not practice today and will be day-to-day. Chris Duarte today was a full participant. So interesting developments on the Keegan front. We obviously know he had to miss a couple games with that lower back soreness and then seemed to re-aggravate it in that game on Monday and then checked back in, as a matter of fact.
What? This is the second time now. Yeah. This is the second time somebody's gone out, came back in. Now, De'Aaron went out again.
Right.
But Keegan did finish the game, and then it turns out that they shouldn't have done that. And when we were in the post-game presser, Keegan said, high-stakes game. They, again.
Right.
I know we'll get over it eventually, but they really wanted to win that game. And you saw Kevin Durant last night tweak what looked like his knee or ankle or something, and he stayed in the game. So, you know, I really do hope, just to bring this around to the future, now that the stench from this loss has gone away, because I think it really did hurt them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's in a weird way, it is good that they do have the Tuesday through Friday off so that you can kind of shake it off. And, yeah, you just got to kind of move on, because now the in-season tournament, as far as you're concerned, is over. And this is now about the rest of the regular season, the rest of these, what would it be, 53 games I think they have left in the season. It's about focusing up and trying to steer the ship back straight, because like we talked about a lot in the roundtable, 19 games in so far, this has not been the best showing of Kings basketball. I think it's clear that there is a more fluid game that I think could be played, or it's just been clunky. There's been moments of good shooting, but maybe not good defense, or good defense, and they're not knocking down their shots. And it just hasn't felt like the Kings have settled into the team that they want to be. And I think that's what the new focus should be. And I think these Tuesday through Friday days off should be a good mental reset for that as well.
To take it back to, and we don't know if Keegan's going to play or not, but I don't think this is a great sign. A couple days,
Probably not
a great sign. To take it back to last season and how people claimed that the Kings were quote-unquote lucky in terms of the injury.
Right.
Do you think this is what people had in mind, or now do you think that the Kings, you always come back to regress to the mean.
Right.
Now the Kings, because of last
pendulum
season,
has swung
on the complete other direction, and now they can't seem to stay healthy.
Yeah, it does feel like this is a slightly above average injuries.
Like, feels,
you know,
like
yeah,
it.
Typically, you know, you might have a guy or two out. Maybe, you know, you'll miss Keegan Murray for 3 weeks or something, but everybody else is healthy, and then you hope to be better when Keegan gets back. But it's been, I mean, Trey Lyles, what, took 8 games to even play his first game, and then, yeah, Keegan's been in and out. Kevin Huerter, you know, he missed a game with a finger injury. De'Aaron missed 5 games. Yeah, it feels like the pendulum just a little bit has swung too far the opposite way. I think that this isn't quite what people were saying when they were talking about the Kings having or regressing back to the mean when it comes to injury luck, because that's really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to for the most part is luck. And you see teams like the Pelicans, and they haven't really had to struggle with injuries so far throughout this season, and that's new for them. It might come later. It might come in a month. It might come in 2 months. It might come right before the playoffs. I don't know, but I think that it's good that the Kings, it's not good that they're dealing with the injuries early in the season, but it's good that as a team, they're figuring out how to navigate injuries, because I think that's more so what people were upset at from last year. Is it never felt like you had to divert from the original plan. What was your counter as a team if Keegan Murray went down? How are you going to adjust to that? I think that's more what people wanted to see. And at the very least, you're seeing it this year, what they try and do to adjust. I think the problem has been the adjustments haven't really been one-for-one replacements.
Yeah.
You know, like when De'Aaron's out, it's like, I mean, you know, that's a special case. Your star's out. You're not going to be able to replace that. But Keegan Murray misses games. the Kings try and go to Chris Duarte, not even close
he's
to what
been
you're
out.
Saying. Yeah, he's and yeah, and he's been out as
he's
well. Right.
Out.
I completely forgot about him. Even yeah. something as small as Keon Ellis. Like mm-hmm. that he finally cracks the rotation. It's a big move to get Davion to the bench and to insert Keon Ellis. Well, Keon Ellis gets like two starts or two mm-hmm. games, I should say, and then he's hurt. And so yeah. you have to go back to the adjustment that you just made. And it's I don't know. Yeah, it's been a roller coaster so far this season.
It definitely has. And you know, I'm thinking now just in terms of the Suns, and obviously the Suns haven't had Bradley Beal.
Right. But Keegan, the 36-year-old stayed healthy for
right,
all their games.
Right, and Keegan was probably going to be one of your main defenders on one of the two.
Right.
And if you don't have Keegan, it's just this is just getting tougher and tougher, man. He's yeah. he's 35, by the way. Keegan.
Kevin Durant.
Don't put years on him. A recent 35. He turned 35 in September.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, so he'll get through this season
it's more,
at 35.
Yeah, with him is more just the miles on KD. Like, again, right. he drafted in 2008. He had to do all those playoff mm-hmm. warrior runs where you're playing every single game of the NBA season.
And before that, with the Thunder.
Made mm-hmm. it to a game seven of that. And then, yeah, made it to the finals against the Heat. Like, he's played a lot of basketball throughout his career, even with missing, what, a season and a half, two mm-hmm. seasons total with injury. He's got a lot of miles on his legs. And also, when you're 7 feet like that, I hate to say it, knock on wood, but any day can be your last when you've had that many lower body injuries and you have, you know, the limbs that Kevin Durant mm-hmm. has where it just feels like, you know, Victor Wembanyama and Chet Holmgren, if someone just kind of falls at the wrong angle into their legs, it could be tragic. So,
right.
you know, with KD, you just don't want to be relying on a guy, much like the Lakers don't want to be relying on LeBron as much as they are this early in the season. Mm-hmm. It just feels like it's a little bit unsustainable or just a really, really tough ask to ask these guys at this point in their career to hold the weight that they're holding.
Speaking of LeBron,
mm-hmm.
this in-season tournament, man, I am just still in awe of how well it's doing because wasn't it just last week when the Lakers had a tough loss, right? Or they got their doors blown off in Philly. Maybe that was 2 weeks ago. And LeBron got asked something about the team.
Right.
And LeBron, he didn't say what team, but he said something like that. And, you know, it was Panicville in Los Angeles.
Right.
And now all of a sudden they go to this little old in-season tournament. And if they go on and win this, this could really give them some momentum.
Yeah.
And like you said, you're only playing one extra game. So you sacrifice one extra game to get the vibes right in your locker room. I can't get over how now, look, I'm talking specifically about, I would say, hardcore NBA fans and players, which that might have been what Adam Silver was focusing on anyway. Adam Silver, I don't know if Adam Silver was focusing on the casual NBA fan that normally only watches the playoffs anyway. I don't think he believes that the in-season tournament was going to pull them in.
Right.
Maybe later, but at first you got to start off with the hardcore fans.
Yeah,
you
got to convince those people.
That even those hardcore fans might not watch every single game they're watching after Christmas.
Right.
And I do think he's successfully got the players to buy in and got hardcore fans to buy in, and which in turn, if you are now saying, hey, yeah, we're going out to watch the in-season tournament final, and that person that you also bring out to the sports spot with you is a person that normally doesn't watch. Now they care.
Right.
So I can't speak enough about the job that the NBA has done. And really, everybody tried to say, we won't care. Right. And maybe having LeBron in it helps. But it was just a couple weeks ago that the Lakers, it was panic time in Lakerville.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be the best thing about it's going to be interesting to see actually how it pans out. But I think it's one of the major positives of the in-season tournament is that it gives your team hope. It gives you value. And again, like, it's something that your coach can harp on all season long of saying, I've seen us go through adversity and we've came out as the one team that's standing at the top of the mountaintop. I know what we're capable of. And I do think that's big. I think it's big for, like you're saying, getting the locker room right. Maybe you can get D'Angelo Russell to buy in a little bit more on the defensive end, because it's like, look, dude, look at the potential of this team if we can just all pull on the same string. But also there is the counter of a team specifically like L.A., it might give you false confidence, or not even
we
false,
about
a
that
false
too.
Sense of confidence.
Yeah,
where
we're good.
You think, yeah, you're like, you're looking around, you say,
that trade
LeBron's
deadline.
Like, yeah. You know, I had my doubts about D'Lo, but he really showed up in this in-season mm-hmm. tournament. And then you put too much value into winning that, and you see in the playoffs that through a 7-game series, which is a whole lot more different than mm-hmm. than a 1-game showout, you might not have the same feelings towards that guy as what you did in the middle of the season. And, you know, now you have 50 or 60 more games of information or of baggage that's blown up. Like, maybe you should have moved on from that guy, but since he had such a good in-season tournament, you made yourself believe that he was a piece that was going to work out.
It is a delicate dance yep. and a balance, just like much of life is. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, Crosstalk with Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason, The Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube.
Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins. Sacktown Sports. Taking you up to 2 p.m. Joined by The Drive Guys. Kyle Draper and Whitey Gleason. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. How are you two doing?
Good. It's warm in here. You guys must be on fire today.
We definitely have been on fire. And part of the reason we've been on fire is because of this question that was posed earlier. Maybe Ooh. You heard it, maybe you didn't. Who is more important to their team, Domantas Sabonis or Brock Purdy?
That's an easy question. I mean, that's a slam dunk. It's Domantas Sabonis, clearly. I mean, and this is no shade to Brock Purdy. There's nobody that can replace Domantas Sabonis mm-hmm. on the Kings. What he does, they structured their entire team around what Domantas Sabonis did. Meanwhile, the Niners structured their entire team, no matter who's starting at quarterback. I know you got to make the throws and everything like that, but I could argue you could take an average quarterback to a slightly above average quarterback and still succeed. Mm-hmm. You can't do that if you take an average center and plug them into the Kings.
If Sam Darnold's the quarterback, are the 49ers still a playoff team?
Maybe.
Yeah. Are they a contender?
I don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah, to your point, if Domas isn't there, are the Kings a playoff team?
No.
Nope.
No. That's And it's not a knock against Brock. It's just what Domas gives this team, they don't have anybody else.
No, they don't. They don't. And it's not to sound – you're not trying to sound disrespectful. Because everybody is, you know, don't want to be disrespectful. No, I went off. I went off yesterday. I walked to my car after, and I just
thought about what you said.
Seeing Whitey's face.
I almost called you later. Dude, are you all right?
Are you okay? Alan, are you okay? No, that was
Purdy
good stuff.
Haters, man.
The Brock Purdy haters, don't get me started on them. Are you surprised at how – Kevin Durant and, you know, the bad call last night with the Lakers and the Suns, and even Kevin Durant getting a little bit banged up. And we're learning more about Keegan Murray and how Keegan Murray re-injured his back, takes a break, he comes back in. And when we asked Keegan Murray, or when it was asked to Keegan Murray during the post-game presser, he said, hey, it was a high-stakes game. Are you surprised? I'm starting to see this thing as at first I thought it was just somewhat of a success. It might be more of a success with the players and really hardcore fans than anybody else, but I'm seeing this in-season tournament as a much bigger success than I think a lot of us thought it would be.
I'm sure Kyle has a lot to say on that. I'll just say real quickly, just kind of cherry-picking from what you just asked there, anytime the Lakers get a favorable call to the game, I am not surprised.
No.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
No, definitely not.
That's all I got on that.
Yeah.
It has been a bigger success, I think, than anybody could have imagined, because when you look at it, you watch the games being played. Go back to the night we played. Sure, we didn't play well, obviously, against the Pelicans. But that Celtics-Pacers game, that was
crazy.
A bar fight. They were going at it. Last night, Lakers-Suns, it's a big game no matter what. But you could tell the intensity was ratcheted up. Mm-hmm. And even Bucks-Knicks last night. And so you know, there's some complaints. You know, I got friends out there in Boston. They're complaining about the court. They're complaining about, you know, the point differential and all that. But, you know, from a Kings standpoint and from watching it out here, I think it's been amazing. Even the point differential, like watching that Warriors game, that was a factor and that was a good thing. And so, no, I think it's been great. I think it's here to stay. There will be some tweaks, I think, but I think it's here to stay.
Yeah.
What do you guys think are some things that you would want to see changed? I know I've heard, you know, the group stages being divisions, making divisions actually matter again since they don't mean anything in the NBA anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of doing these random group selections, having it just be your division. So, you know, that kind of reignites that flame a little. Of course, there's the Kings are kind of in a little bit of a disadvantage when it comes to that sense. But are there? Do you like the courts? Do you feel like there's anything else that could be switched around?
Go ahead, buddy.
Well, I would say if you want it to be just a game of high stakes, glorified grab ass again, you know, keep it like it is. But otherwise, I do think if you really wanted to, you want to start to address more of the issues of competitive integrity. Yeah, the group stage should probably be longer. I think they got lucky
five
this year.
Games, maybe.
Nobody got in on some cockamamie tiebreaker, which is good, but that's possible the way it's set up. I think the group stage should be longer, so there's a little more meaning to actually advancing.
Yeah, and one change I would like to be made is the group stage 2 weeks all by itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't like you playing a tournament game and then just a regular game. Like last week against, you know, the Warriors, you're playing this emotional high game. Then you got to come down and play a regular game against the Clippers and then Denver. And then you got to get back up. I don't like the up and down nature. Make it a 2 week thing. Yep. You can still count the games in the standings, but make every game during that stretch be part of the tournament.
I like that
a
lot.
No, I was going to say, Chris, what you were saying about the divisions, because people were complaining about the Lakers,
right?
How all their group games, just cupcakes. Oddly enough, just got cupcakes throughout the whole thing. So yeah, I think that,
Lakers.
Is there
of
actual,
Los Angeles?
No, and Drapes, maybe you know. Last night when the call was made for the Lakers,
yes,
is there a rule for the refs that just says, hey, even though you know. Everybody in the arena knows that this call was incorrect. Is there a rule that says once you make a call, you can't change it? So, oops, the referee that called the timeout didn't see that the ball was loose because he was too far from the play. He was closer to LeBron. We all know that, and the ball was loose, but we can't do anything to change it.
There are certain triggers, and you guys know this, in the NBA for a review, and that's just not one of them. It can't be, you know, what should have happened is – and another official can't even come to the other official and say, no, the ball was loose. You can't even, that's not even a trigger.
Yeah.
I will say what's interesting, did you see the pool report after? And they said that Austin Reeves had the ball trapped on his thigh, on his legs, which constituted control, so the timeout was given correctly. This is in the pool report with the official after the game. And everybody's at home like, what? You know, we're all watching the same thing.
Yeah.
And so that's not one of those things you can review or trigger. Because basically, it's telling a referee, A, you missed the call, or B, you don't know the rules or whatever. You know, it's sort of making the official look bad. I'm not all up in arms about it like everybody else is. Like, you know, bad calls happen all the time. Yeah. All the time. And I don't understand, and I guess I do, but in the NBA, for some reason, it's more egregious. We talked about the Kansas City Chiefs no call for like 12 hours, and then we moved on. You know, it's like bad calls happen in every sport.
Yeah.
Yeah, but for those of us who've been here a long time,
it's,
you know, it's the Lakers, and it just brings back brings back bad memories. That's all. Yeah. And don't worry, 2 minute report, is it out yet? I don't think so.
The 2 minutes not out yet.
Yeah. Once that's out, they'll say, okay, we made a mistake. Then it's like, okay, play on. Everything will be fine. The 2 minute report will make.
Yeah, it usually does, right? Yeah, it usually makes everybody happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
As long
if
as
you say so.
It.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. When is the last time there was a really, really bad call against the Lakers, is I guess the best question.
LeBron and at the Celtics game, when he got whacked on the arm.
Patrick Beverly photo. Showing the referee the camera.
And LeBron. And then that's when LeBron was on his hands and knees.
Yes.
He was heartbroken,
just
man.
Absolutely incredible.
So, Niners, I know, I'm not going to give you a hard time, Drapes, because we both got Philly ties. But really where I'm going with this is they do look unbeatable right now.
I don't know who could beat them. I'm just being honest.
They looked unbeatable before the losing streak, too, though.
They did. They did. And they lost Trent and Debo.
Right.
I was always worried. When it came to Philly, I was worried about their ability to score. I felt like a lot of people felt if the Niners can get it above 25, they're going to win this football game. I didn't think it would be that.
Right.
But I just don't see a team in the NFL that can score as much on the Niners compared to how much they will be able to stop the Niners.
I don't know about that because, and I hear you, even in games they lost, I mean, Cincinnati put up 31 on them.
Yeah.
Less than, you know, and you know, Minnesota, Kirk Cousins looked good. They only put up 22. Cleveland, we know about their quarterback situation. You know, for the Niners to lose, they got to have an off day. Mm-hmm. Things just aren't, you know, going, you know, properly, perfectly for them. But I maintain there have been times where, you know, the Chiefs have looked unbeatable. The Dolphins have looked unbeatable. Dallas looks unbeatable, you know? And so this is the Niners' turn to look unbeatable. Mm-hmm. You know, can they beat Baltimore? Will they beat Seattle this week? And how you're playing now isn't necessarily how you're playing when it matters the most. And that's why they say any given Sunday,
yep.
Right?
Yeah,
anything football, could happen.
Football is not basketball it's not either. It's not like, best team does series. Not always
yeah,
win.
That's exactly. True. That's true.
Any they given, are banged up this week, not to the extent of Trent Williams being out or Debo being out, but they're right. Dealing with some injuries this week.
We'll see, and it'll be another emotional game. Any given Sunday and any given day, you will hear the Drive Guys with Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. That is coming up next from 2 to about 5:45. Thank you for listening to Styles and Watkins. We will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, secure the bag, light the beam.